I'm following you, Lord. Oh, let's give up a hearty hand clap of praise. Come on, apostolics. I know it's a little laid back today, but let's not lay back on our worship. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Well, let's get right into the Word. We've had a long service already today. It's 4:30. I'll try to let us all out by 8. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. And you're a guest here. We certainly welcome you again. And we are just thankful that you have come. It is our desire that you just worship God in your own way and that you are touched of Him mightily today. And before you leave here this afternoon, you will know that you have been in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is here today to provide your need. He is here to do mighty things in your life. He is here to give you direction and strength. He has come to bless you. He has not come to condemn you or make you feel bad. He's come to help you. He's come to lead and give you and show you the way, the truth, and the life. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The Lord has led me to speak today on a subject that I have probably only spoken on just a handful of times in all of my ministry. It is a subject that is not spoken about as often as it used to be, but it doesn't make it any less real and any less powerful and important in our life. And I hope that we can leave here today with an awareness that there is indeed a place called hell. And that hell is real. By the help of the Holy Ghost, I'm not going to preach hellfire and brimstone today. My purpose isn't to get you scared and make you pray through. My purpose is to make you aware that there is a place to escape and there is a place to go to. And that place is heaven. You say amen. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to talk about hell a little bit here today. And I pray it does stir some of us up to understand that hell does exist. And that we all know somebody that's going there. And the Lord can help us to prevent them, to help them, to make Jesus Christ their Savior. Book of Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. And I said also unto thee, thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Before I end today, I am going to talk about that place that can conquer hell in your life and redeem you and set you free. Because that is what Jesus is all about. But in this verse, he talks about a place that is warring against the church. A lot of people say that hell isn't real. Even religious, many religious people, religious theologians say hell is not real. That the Bible's talking about the grave when it talks about hell. In some cases it is, but in most it is not. Jesus made it very plain in this verse that hell is not only real, and not only is it a place, but hell is in war. That hell is alive and strong, and it's in war. And hell today is warring for your soul. And the only hope that you have, the only thing in the universe that is more powerful than hell, is the church. Woo! And when you get in the church, you don't have to worry about hell anymore. In fact, when you get in the church, you get on the offensive. And now it's hell that better look out. It's hell that better be careful. Because the church isn't passive. The church is in war too. And the church is going to win. And the church is going to conquer. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. He's a mighty God. Somebody praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you who has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. We praise you, Almighty One. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him hell's real. Find somebody else and tell him hell's after you. Lord bless you. You may be seated. You get into the word of the Lord. The Old Testament, we find that the Bible mentions this place, hell, prophetically on more than one occasion. Many times in the Old Testament, the Word of God talks about hell, and it is speaking about the grave or a place of bondage. But there are prophetic utterances in the Word of God that paint hell as a very real place. Hell is a place not necessarily where demons remain, but it is an abiding place. Some are even today locked in chains, and the Bible doesn't go through a lot of explanation on that. But we know that there are many demons, including Satan himself, that roam this world. The God of this world, the Bible calls him, even makes his way to the throne of God here and now. But he was cast down out of heaven. He was cast down into the earth. And God created a place called hell for the devil and his angels. So the Old Testament talks about and prophesies about hell. We get into the New Testament and we find that Jesus spoke about it often in his teachings. And then we go all the way through the New Testament. We make our way into the book of Revelations, and Revelation talks about it. It seems like the subject hell was something that when Jesus showed up on this earth, he introduced to this world in a very powerful and a very dramatic way. And then the church is born, and the church's job is to go out and to reach people and to pull them up out of this place called the pit, this place of darkness, this place called hell. And then the New Testament wraps it up in the end after the church age is done, and all of a sudden the platform of hell becomes exposed again, and the depths of its mouth are opened, and it talks about Satan and the beast and his servant and being cast into hell, and the place of demons, a place for the wicked. And Revelation gives this description of this place called hell. But in the book of Acts, it's only mentioned twice, and there it is only mentioned as a fulfilled prophecy that Christ would visit it, but he indeed would not remain in this place called hell. James tells us that hell influences the tongue in James chapter 3 and verse 6. And the tongue is a fire in the world of iniquity, and so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and it setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. That hell influences us to speak evil and to do things with our mouth that are evil. Peter talks about the angels who were cast down into hell. 2 Peter chapter 2 in verse number 4. For if God spare not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. But here I believe again it is very obvious for all of our theologians out there who preach that there is no hell. God did not cast angels down into a grave. He did not lock them up in a grave. But the Bible makes it plain. He cast them into a place that is called hell. And in that place he put chains of darkness upon them. And there he has reserved them unto a time of judgment. And so if the devil has lied to you and told you there is no hell, then this preacher has come here today to tell you the truth. There is a hell, and we need to do everything we can to escape. We live in a world today that has tried to convince us this isn't true. They say that God is a God of love, and he is. And that God is so kind that he would never send anybody to hell, and you're right. In fact, God is so much love and so kind, he didn't send anyone to hell. In fact, he came to earth. He died on the cross. He shed his blood that nobody would have to ever go to this place called hell. God doesn't send you there if you get to hell. It's because you trampled the blood. You walk through walls of prayer. If you make it to hell, it's because you gave it your best shot, and you defeated every day of fasting. You defeated every preaching. You climbed over every wall, every intercessory prayer for your soul. You crossed the river of the blood and ignored the power of Christ. You ignored the power of repentance. That's the only way you're going to make it to hell. He is a good God. He is a loving God. He's here to spare you. He's here to help you. He's here to bring you out. He's here to lift you up. But that doesn't mean hell's not real. And that doesn't mean that there are not people there right now in torment. Hell is real. And people are there. And so God casts the angels. It's what hell was designed for. In the Old Testament, it seemed to be a common subject, sometimes mentioned metaphorically and other times mentioned as a literal place. Hell was believed to be a literal place among the prophets. Look at the word of God. Psalms chapter 9 and verse number 17. The Holy Ghost is in this place so strong today. Let God talk to you. Every eye closed right now. I feel the presence of God. Hell is fighting, but God is winning. I'm telling you, I bind the hands of Satan. I bind his lion voice in the name of Jesus Christ. I loose the blood of Jesus upon this service right now. Devil, you're a liar. You have no place in this service. Leave now. Leave in the name of Jesus. Go. Lord, let your presence sweep over this place. Hallelujah. Satan, wait outside the door, because right now
I'm going to expose you. I'm going to let those know who you lied to, that there is a place that you're going to burn eternity, and you want them to come and join you, but it's not going to happen today, Satan. I exalt the name of Jesus. I exalt the name of Jesus. Somebody whisper his name. Hell was a literal place to the prophet. Psalms chapter 9 and verse number 17. Just stay with me for a little while today. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 14. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he rejoiceth shall descend into it. Ezekiel chapter 32 verse 27. And they shall not lie with the mighty that are fallen of the uncircumcised, which are gone down to hell with their weapons of war, and they have laid their swords under their heads, but their iniquity shall be upon their bones, though they were the terror of the mighty in the land of the living. Look what Amos said in Amos chapter 9 and verse number 2. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence I will bring them down. If you really want to know, though, about hell, if you want to learn about hell, then you need to go to the greatest prophet who ever walked the planet earth. You need to go to the most mighty man that ever lived. You need to make your way to the one whom the Bible says was God manifested in the flesh. If anybody knew about hell, it was God, because God created it with his own hands. Listen to this, preacher. God never intended hell to ever be for a single human being. God never intended for one man, one woman, one child to ever spend time in hell. When hell was made, hell was created for the devil and all of the fallen angels. But somehow Lucifer has deceived man, and now the soul of man is tainted with sin. But thank God for the blood. Thank God for redemption. Thank God for the truth. Don't let the devil lie to you. There is a hell. If he can convince you there's no hell, you'll never try to run from it. But if you can leave here today understanding there is indeed a hell, then you'll run to heaven. You'll make your way to God. You'll get in the church, because the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Oh, I feel something stirring up in this place. God is in this place. If you're going to know about hell, you're going to need to go to Jesus. No wonder he talked about hell so much. It's what he came to deliver you from. His very purpose upon this earth was because he was the one that created. He realized the souls of men would dwell there forever. That's why when they buried him, the Bible tells us he went down to hell. He visited hell, and he preached the gospel to those bound in hell. I don't understand the mysteries of all of that, but I know God was reaching for souls, and he's here today reaching for souls, because nobody understands eternity like God understands eternity. God knows what it means to exist forever and to be in a place of torment forever. It's something no human mind can possibly understand, but God understood it so well. He came off his throne. He let men abuse him. He let men torment him. He let men nail him to a cross. He shed his blood. Why? That he might have power over death, hell, and the grave. And that he might be able to give you that power where you don't have to worry about hell or the devil or sin. For you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
He said, I'll give you power over all the power of the enemy. You'll cast out devils. You'll heal the sick.
Jesus didn't cut any corners. He made it plain that hell was real. He didn't come to placate, tickle ears. See, we live in a generation today where people are trying to find churches that don't preach like me. They're trying to find churches that don't talk about sin. They don't want a preacher to tell them that nicotine's wrong. Boy, that was weak. Got a lot of smokers in the house. They don't want a preacher that's going to get up and tell them that drinking's wrong. And that includes social drinking, honey. They don't want a preacher to get up and tell them that doing these things are wrong, that sleeping with a woman that's not your wife or a man that's not your husband, it will send you straight to a pit that's called hell. Living a life of greed and murder and all these things are hell. They want to find a preacher that's just going to get up with a big smile, with a $10,000 fake smile, and say, Jesus is love. Yes, he is. But he's as much hate as he is love. You say that's not true, Pastor. Yes, it is. God hates sin. And as much as he loves you, he hates the sin that is attached to you. That's why he shed his blood to redeem you so you won't go to hell. Somebody shout, hell is real. Tell your neighbor, hell is real.
Jesus made it plain. He spoke of hell explicitly 7 different times in his ministry. Hell is not a fig of your imagination. It is not something that some religious man conjured up to scare people in the altar. Hell is real. It's amazing how religion has taken such a turn. We start out in the beginning. We preach hellfire and brimstone to get people in. We'll make our way through some area of complacency. And now we find the church, and I'm not talking about God's church, I'm talking about the religious world. We find the church now running from the sermon called hell. God could never be that mean. No, God isn't that mean. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, should not go to hell, should not burn for eternity, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the God of love, but it doesn't mean hell's not real, and it doesn't mean people aren't going there.
Jesus taught that your concern should be more important about your soul than your body. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. My Lord, the Holy Ghost is in this place. God's come to help somebody today. He's come to save somebody today. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The Lord is telling you today, you need to quit worrying so much about this. And you better start worrying about this. Because I'm going to tell you, if you live long enough, I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how many facelifts you have. I don't care if you tuck it here, tuck it there. Cut it off there, blow it up here, whatever you do, eventually, honey, you're going to wrinkle. Eventually, baby, these are going to sag. The dark hair is going to turn gray. Come on, somebody, talk to me. This old body's going to start falling apart. It doesn't matter what you do to it. It's going to die, and it's going to go to the grave. And the Bible said it's going to turn back to dust from whence it came. But your soul shall live forever. You're going to dress something up? You better dress up your soul. You're going to get a facelift? You better do it to your soul. If you're going to fix something, you better fix your soul. Quit worrying about the one that can destroy the body. You need to worry about the one that can destroy the soul. Somebody shout, hell is real. All right, just a few more minutes. Jesus taught that whatever you had to do to stay out of hell, you better do it. He said in Matthew 5:29, he said, if your right eye offend thee, it'd be better if you plug it out. Some of y'all need you to go ahead and plug them both out. And Jesus is saying, whatever could possibly touch you that would cause you to turn from him, you better cut it off. It doesn't matter what kind of sacrifice you have to make, you better cut it off. He said, if your eye offend thee, he said, pluck it out. It's better for you to go to heaven with one eye than to go to hell with both. In verse 30, he said, if your right hand offend thee, cut it off, cast it from you. It's more profitable that you would enter into heaven with one of your members, just one of your members, rather than to perish and go to hell with your whole body. Jesus is saying, whatever you got to do, however you got to make it happen, get out of your life any and everything that is hindering you from living for God. It doesn't matter how it may be your pride. I don't know what it is. Whatever you're doing, and you know it's got you out of church. It's pulling you away from God. You're not living like you're supposed to be living. God said you better cut it off. It's better to come to me limping. It's better to make it to heaven doing without. It's better to go to heaven with a little than to go to hell with a lot. Cut it off. Cut it off. Get it out of your house. Get it out of your life. Cut it off. You say, well, I'll cut it off later, honey. You might die today. No man has tomorrow. The Bible says. Jesus used a powerful, common reference to the Jews. And I'm going to try to bring this to a close here shortly. No, I got a long ways to go, actually. I'll do it as quick as I can. Jesus used a powerful common reference when he was preaching on hell to the Jews. He's talking to the Jews. Mark chapter 9, verse 44. He preaching to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, etc. And talking about hell, he said, describing hell, he said, it's like a place where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Now you and I can read that and scratch our head. And we could actually think that he was actually talking about the little hell at that moment and giving a description. And he was certainly given a typology. But he was actually making reference to something who existed, something that existed in that day. Because he wanted them to understand what kind of place hell really was. Isaiah prophesied about this place that Jesus was talking about in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse number 24. And he said, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. You see, this place that Jesus referred to about the place where the worm dieth not and the place where the fire is not quenched was a literal valley that existed in his day and had existed for many generations. In fact, where it began initially was in the valley of a place called the Son of Hinnom. 2 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse number 3. It's going to talk about how this place came into existence. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the Son of Hinnom and burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And so here God comes in and he cast out the people so that Israel can come and take over the land that God had promised. And the heathen that lived there, they would burn their children in the fire. They would sacrifice their kids to false gods. Now here's a king of Israel. He walks in and he picks up after the traditions of the heathen. And it angered God. And it all began in this place. This place became a valley called the Valley of Dead Bodies, or Tophet, a place called Tophet. Eventually, this is where when Israel came back to God and began to live for God, this was the place that they would send murderers and men who were condemned to death after they would hang them or after they would decapitate them, whatever form of death or the crucifixion, whatever form of death there was. They, instead of burying them, they would take them and they would cast them into this valley. And there was a fire that was going on down there. And it burned continually so that because of the stench of the dead bodies, the fire was there to burn the flesh so that it wouldn't last very long. But some of the meat would get on the sides and worms begin to gather. And one of the horrible things here was that the outcast, men who weren't put in prison or killed, but they were cast out because of their sin, they would find themselves living in this area. There was nowhere else to go. Worms would get into their body, dig their way into their bones. They would have to sit there and smell the stench of that flesh. We find out about a king named Josiah, who was a godly king. It was there that the carcasses of the criminals would be thrown, and he would have that fire perpetually going. It made its way all the way to the days of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus said, the valley where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, he said, this is what hell is going to be like. Bodies piled upon bodies, a stench, a burning flesh, worms crawling through you and eating you. And so Jesus said, whatever you do, cut off your hand, pluck out your eye, whatever it takes, never go to this place
called hell. Whatever sacrifice you got to make, however you got to pull yourself out, whatever you got to separate you from, whatever friend you got to give up, whatever you've got to do, do it. I beg you, God begs you, cut it off, escape, get in the church, because the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Come on, somebody help the preacher. Whew. Woo! Friend, you get in the church, and when hell comes from you, hell is not going to prevail. You get in the church, and when hell tempts you, hell is going to lose, because the church is victorious over hell.
It's dangerous to hear truth and not repent. Jesus said in Matthew 11 and 20, then began he to upbraid the cities, or to rebuke them, wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and in Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it'll be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, they would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it is more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. I want to tell you, when God does a work in your midst, when God comes, when God touches you and you don't turn, God said it's more tolerable for that heathen who never heard about me. It's more tolerable for that one who sacrifices kids in the fire to false gods who never heard about me, than it's going to be for you when you hear truth and you repent not, when you hear truth and you yield not. Come on, let's worship the Lord. God, touch their heart, touch their souls, touch their minds. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Do your work, Almighty God. Show yourself strong. Somebody cry out, hell is real. And we all know someone going there. Hell is real. My mother told me one time, quite a few years ago, and she had a vision, and the Lord had brought her down to what she figured must have been hell. She said everything was so real. I could smell, I could see, I could touch. She was blind at the time. The Lord had given her other visions, and I know that she had had these visions because she would tell me things that you would have to be able to see to know where it was. And God had opened her eyes and let her see for a moment. And she was telling me about this vision. She said she was walking down the corridors of hell, and the walls were very close, and the smell was horrible. And she said the walls were made of human flesh, rotting human flesh. And that what she eventually realized, that what it was, is that the bodies were so intertangled and so bound together, so squished together, that their rotting flesh literally became a single wall, and that their faces were in the wall, and their hands, sounds like a mighty nightmare, doesn't it? And their hands were trying to reach out of the wall, and they were screaming. She said there was screaming and yelling and cursing, and everybody was cursing God. And it seemed like, she said, it seemed like everybody that was in this wall was cursing God. Everyone hated God. They blamed God for them being there. And then the Lord reached down and pulled her up, and he said, as he pulled her up, she made her way through this flowing liquid. She had pulled her through this flowing liquid. And when she came to, the revelation was there that the liquid that she flowed through was his blood. And it was God's way of saying, nobody goes to hell unless they're willing to push through the blood. Jesus, he said, it's more tolerable for the wicked than you to hear about this precious truth, than you to know that I died for you. I shed my blood for you, but yet you would not repent. Somebody convinced you that hell's not real, that nobody's suffering, nobody's there. But the Holy Ghost is here to tell you hell is real, and God loves you, and God's here to save you, and he's here to redeem you. He's here to help you. He's here to bring you out. He wants to get you in the church, because the church will spare you from hell. You say, the church, pastor? Yeah, because when you're in the church, you may not like it, but every time you walk through the doors, the preacher's going to preach, and the preacher's going to tell you what sin is, and the preacher's going to tell you what's right, and he's going to tell you what's wrong, and you're going to get mad at the preacher. You're going to hate him. You're going to hate his wife. You're going to hate his family, but something's going to bring you back, and the preacher's going to preach to you again, and one of these days, you're going to fall on your face, and you're going to give your life to God. You're going to make up your mind, I'm going to do what's right. And the church is going to deliver you out of hell. I just want to tell you a few more minutes. Look at your neighbor and say, you cannot escape hell. Matthew 23 and 33. You serpents, you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? What can you possibly come up with that will pull the wool over the eyes of God? Since he's the one that created it. You are either going to live eternally in the presence of Satan, or you are going to live eternally in the presence of God. And nothing unrighteous shall dwell in the presence of God. Don't misunderstand that statement. There's not one of us in here righteous enough or worthy of heaven. You see, you can't do enough good deeds to make it there. No. It doesn't matter how good you are. You cannot work your way into heaven. It's the beauty of the church. God put the plan of salvation in the church. And when you get in the church, the blood is applied. Redemption is given you, and the Bible tells us that his righteousness is imputed into us. You see, it's not my righteousness, it's his righteousness. But when I get in the church, I get his righteousness, and it's his righteousness that's going to keep me out of hell. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hear this preacher today. I'm going to be bringing this to a close in just a moment. How shall we escape?
escape if we neglect so great a salvation. You see, you cannot escape hell if you neglect this salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. This great salvation, God talked about it, and then the disciples came alone and they talked about it. Before I get into the salvation, just let me tell you, as the music comes, let me refer this to you. Everybody is going to live somewheres eternally. Do you understand that? Everybody is going to live somewheres eternally. Luke tells us there was a certain rich man clothed in purple and fine linen. He fared sumptuously every day. The Bible goes on to tell us that Lazarus the beggar was at his gate. Finally, the rich man died, or Lazarus died, and he was carried by an angel into the bosom of Abraham. The rich man died, and he opened his eyes, and he was in hell. This is Jesus giving this literal story of a happening, letting us know that this man, he didn't go to purgatory. He didn't rest in the grave. His body might have been there, but his soul made its way to its destination. His soul went down to hell, and he opened his eyes in torment, and he said, please send Lazarus. Let him dip his finger in water. Let him bring one drop of water. Let him put it on my tongue. Abraham said, no, it can't happen. There's a gulf between us. We can't reach you. We'll never get to you. Then whatever you do, send someone. Send Moses, raise him from the dead. Send him to my brothers. Whatever you do, don't let my brothers go to hell. Let's stand and listen to the answer and the word of God. And Abraham saith unto him, he wanted to raise Lazarus from the dead, In Luke chapter 16, and Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And the man in torment said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one would be raised from the dead, they'll repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, even as one was raised from the dead. Some people are waiting for some great miracle, some great sign to let them know that God is indeed real. I'll come to God if I see the dead raised. I'll come to God if I see the lame healed or the blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped. I'll come to God if an angelic being appears before me. No, you won't. If the word can't convince you to come to God, nothing will. You see, the Bible tells us we are begotten by the Word. We are born by the Word of God. And if a little preacher, little Cajun boy from Louisiana, can't get up here and preach about hell to you, and preach about heaven, and tell you about all that God did so that you'd never have to go to hell. See, hell was never created for you. Matthew 25 and 41 tells us that. It was created for the devil and his angels. God never intended for you to go to hell. So how do we escape hell? By this great salvation.
Hebrew said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great? I'll tell you how we do escape: by not neglecting this great salvation. I read to you a verse earlier where the Bible made it plain that the prophets told us how to escape hell. Jesus told us how to escape hell. And those that followed him told us how to escape hell. So how do we escape hell? Jesus said that you have to be born, John 3:3, you have to be born again. And then in verse 5 he says that if you're going to enter the kingdom of God, you have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. He said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Luke 24:47 says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You see, Jesus told you how. So all you got to do is be born again. Get baptized in my name. Your sins will be washed away. And when you come out of the water, the Lord's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost and give you power over sin. But that scripture said that not only the prophets and not only would Jesus tell us, but his disciples would tell us. So in Acts chapter 2, his disciples begin to fulfill the word of God. Peter stands up and begins to preach. And he tells the people, hearken to my words. He says, these men aren't drunk like you think they are. But this is the fulfillment of the prophecy of the prophet Joel. Well, the prophet Joel said, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And he began to preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And finally, the men there, the Bible says, became convicted in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. And they said, what do we do? How do we escape this place called hell? How do we get forgiven of our sins? And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is to you and your children, those that are afar off. Every eye closed, listen to this preacher. Listen. Listen. There is no other plan of escape ever given in the Word of God. This is the only way of escape ever given. Repent. Be baptized. Receive the Spirit of Christ into your life. Everything else is a lie. The devil has paved so many roads, and he has said, come follow me, I'll show you the way. Religion has lied to men for thousands of years and has said, this is the way. This is the way. This is the way. And then they get exposed, and so they say, well, many roads lead to heaven. Jesus said, no, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Any man enter any other way, he's a thief and he's a robber.
He said, I'm the door. And I tell you, the only way to get into heaven is by being born of the water and the Spirit. There's no other way. And his disciples fulfilled that. Be baptized. Receive the Spirit of God. Begin to live that life that God's called you to live. And so I guess the question is today, in your mind, is hell real? Or is Jesus a liar? Is hell real? Or is the Word of God not true? Because Jesus said hell's real. The Word said hell is real. And Jesus said it's a place to escape no matter what you have to do. Cut off your hand and pluck out your eye. Whatever you got to do, cut off whatever you got to cut off. Because nothing in this world is worth going to hell over. Everything in this world will fade. Everything in this world will die. Every pleasure that you seek in this world will turn bitter. Every vain thing that you go after in this world will become corrupt. It will all die. And the only thing that's going to last in the end is what you did for God. And the only way you're going to escape hell is if you get Jesus's plan of salvation in your life. And he said, you have to be born of the water and the Spirit. So this altar is open. It's open today. I know the Lord's dealing with you. Some of you here, you may be lukewarm and you just want to come get it hot again. Some of you may be backslid. You just want to come give your life to God all over again. Because you know what this preacher said is true. Don't run from it. Don't hide from it. I'm not trying to get you to go my way. I'm trying to get you to go God's way. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, unless we come out from among them and separate ourselves, we shall not be received unto the Father. That a man without holiness shall not see God. We must walk a life of righteousness and a life of holiness. We must be willing to separate ourselves from the things of this world. And when hell comes after us, and hell tries to get a grip on us, if you're in the church, hell's going to lose, and heaven's going to win every time. Let's everybody say, hell is real, and hell is after me. Sir, won't you come? Ma'am, won't you come? Step out from where you are and make your way down to this altar. Hell's real. Do you hear me? Maybe you don't want to come pray for yourself, but maybe you know somebody that's going there. Maybe you know someone that they could even be great people, but good people don't go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. You know someone that's backslid, someone that sold out to the world, someone that has allowed Satan to deceive them, and they're reaching for the things of the world. Maybe you might want to come pray for them and ask God to be merciful. Maybe you just want to come pray for yourself to make sure. I'm just going to go make sure. I'm going to go double check. I'm just going to go be careful about it.
I'm going to go give my heart one more time. I'm going to go fall on my face before Christ one more time. And I'm going to say, Lord, be merciful. Why don't you come? You may not get another chance to really call on God. The Lord may take you home. I got an email today. A good friend of mine, Scotty Slayton, the secretary of the Foreign Missions Division, his niece on the way home from Youth Congress got in a car accident, 23 years old, and God took her home. She died instantly. This may be the last time that you're able to tell God how thankful you are that He saved you from a place called hell. How thankful you are that He brought truth to your life and He let you know that you can't live just any way and make it to heaven, but that we have to live a separated, dedicated, devoted life to God. Let's talk to Him, church. Will you do that? Let's make our way to the altar. Let's come and pray. I know this was a serious message, but that's all the more reason why we need to call out to God. Just because you're filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name doesn't mean you need to ignore messages like this. You ought to be rejoicing that God has redeemed you. Or maybe you need to be repenting over something that's in your life. Maybe you need to get something right in your heart and in your life. Let's do that, church. Let's call out to the Lord. Let's make our way to the altar. Bring somebody with you. Maybe they're standing next to you and they're hesitant about coming. Why don't you let them know, hey, let's go pray together. Let's see what God will do. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, let Pastor baptize you today. Don't wait another day. If you've never been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, let God fill you with His Spirit today. Don't wait any longer. You see, this is that so great salvation God was talking about. It's the plan of salvation that'll get you in the church.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all and all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Stay, be washed in white as snow.
and stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Oh, praise the one who thine all.